CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Gordon Chang at Gordon G. Chang is with me, and we continue with Charles Burton of the McDonnell Laurier Institute asking the question, the protests in China, the FT headline. This is London reporting to the financial media in Europe and the U.S. Xi Jinping faces stiffest challenge to rule as COVID outrage sparks mass protests. Subhead, demonstrations stamped out by Monday, but analysts warn of reprisals if dissent flares up again. Charles, I come to you for your estimate of what this means for East Asia, what this means for Hong Kong. Hong Kong was suppressed in part because the mainland was watching and did not in any way demonstrate or have a way of demonstrating sympathy. We saw it didn't happen. And so therefore, China, Hong Kong today is a shrunken and demoralized place. Do you measure that this threat of stamping out can solve this for mainland China from Urumqi to Shanghai? And I'll include other capitals, to Taipei, to Tokyo, all now seeing the opportunity to weaken the Xi dictatorship. Thank you, Charles.
Well, I do think that if this leads to a positive change domestically in China, that of course it has an enormous foreign impact. As you say, you know, the imperative for China to crack down on Hong Kong and suppress all of Hong Kong's freedoms and all of the things that make Hong Kong a great place and allow the spirit of the Cantonese to rise as they have, would be eliminated. Similarly, you know, one would see changes in the policy towards the Uyghurs. Why have these camps of genocidal assimilation if China is going to become a nation that recognizes the diversity of the human experience and responds to the aspirations of people to freedom and citizenship? And similarly, if China abandons its ideological desire for the rejuvenation of the nation and a restoration of China as the sole hegemon for the entire planet, you know, this audaciously ambitious community of the common destiny of mankind and the changing of the global economy to put China at the center through the Belt and Road Initiative, that we might start to see China playing a responsible role in as a stakeholder in upholding free and reciprocal fair trade and the sovereignty of states. So, I mean, there are all sorts of wonderful prospects if we saw the demonstration succeed and saw a regime installed in China that wasn't based on archaic ideological norms that Mr. Xi has imposed, and that would similarly lead to a change in the COVID policy. Although I think that if you know there is a removal of this lockdown policy and COVID starts to spread rapidly through China, as is likely because China doesn't have proper vaccines to counter it, that could hasten the movement for the end of Chinese communism. So, you know, there's a lot of possibilities there that we're looking at, and let's keep optimistic about it, I guess. What's the point of being otherwise?
Gordon, you have a question for Charles.
Charles, People's Daily, in an editorial over the weekend, said that China would double down on zero COVID. So it doesn't seem like Xi Jinping is in any mood to give concessions to the protesters. And that really means that the sources of discontent and friction are going to remain, even if the Chinese people are not on the streets. How do you see this playing out, let's say, in 1 week, 1 month, 6 months?
Well, I mean, I think you're exactly right. Xi cannot go back on the zero COVID policy for various reasons. One is his credibility is attached to it. Secondly, they have no other means to address the COVID-19 pandemic because the Chinese vaccines just don't work. They haven't adopted the new technologies that have led to positive benefits in everywhere else in the world but China. So of course you're right. If there's more lockdowns, more arbitrary lockdowns, more disruption of production, more workers feeling that they're at risk, more people who are working in the gig economy who feel desperate because their incomes have disappeared due to the COVID lockdowns, you're going to see more demonstrations. People have to let off the steam. If the government continues to suppress the people and deny the reality that their policies have failed, then we're going to see more and more demonstrations, as you say, in next week and in the months and 6 months ahead. There is no roadmap that suggests that things will go well for the leadership in Beijing.
Charles, is there a rethink underway in Ottawa? The prime minister was insulted by Xi Jinping within these last days. Does this oblige Canada to consider that it is now in partnership, in trade partnership with brutality?
I think that there is an increasing awareness within the Canadian Parliament, including among parliamentarians of the governing party, the Liberal Party. I don't think the message has percolated through to Mr. Trudeau as fully as we would like to see. But yesterday, the government announced an Indo-Pacific strategy that defines China as an increasingly disruptive force globally. I mean, that is good language for Canada, but the bottom line is that China is a strategic competitor and we need to be recognizing that more fully. But I think that the trend is there, and as events in China unfold, it'll become increasingly difficult for those China appeasing elements within the Canadian elite to maintain their credibility.
Gordon, the chips war is underway. The Biden administration, does this change direction in any fashion for Washington, to your estimate?
John, if the protests just completely melt away, I don't see that there's going to be a change in Biden policy towards China. But as we've discussed, I think that they will come back, and that will increasingly restrict Biden in any of his overtures towards Beijing on climate change or whatever.
And is this something that the markets will reflect, Gordon? You and I don't talk markets all the time. We're told right now they're off in Hong Kong, but those markets are not transparent. We can't tell. What about the overseas investors trying to stabilize themselves about their investment commitment to China? Will this change their direction?
I think it actually will, John, because it highlights that Xi Jinping is not going to substantially relax the zero COVID policies. There was this sort of mini boom that occurred a couple weeks ago because people thought that the November 11th measures would actually liberalize the rules. But we're starting to see now that there really is no liberalization and there's no prospect for liberalization in the immediate and foreseeable future. So I think the markets are going to go down a lot in the next couple weeks or so over this.
Your measure, Charles, does Xi Jinping, his authoritarian state security, do they have the room to violently suppress, to mass arrest the way they did in Hong Kong? Is that available to them on a scale of the mainland?
I think certainly the potential is there for mass arrests of, people identified as key figures in this activity. And certainly the Chinese state has the capacity to do the investigations, identify who the main agitators are, and to, get into their social media and
right.
devices
Charles,
make a case.
We can see the faces of some of these protesters in photographs that are reproduced by the Financial Times. So 20 seconds. You expect the mass arrest then, is that correct?
I think if she does mass arrest, it will simply open the floodgates to more protest. Yeah. I think he's between a rock and a hard place, but his default position will be repression.
Charles Burton is Senior Fellow at Center for Advancing Canada's Interests Abroad at the Macdonald Laurier Institute. Gordon Chang at Gordon G. Chang. I'm John Batch.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.